B-Pod Studios.
You're listening to the Other Identity Podcast. To listen to the full episode, go to checkpointxp.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't already, please, please make sure you're following us on social media. That is Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, Robbie underscore Landis, CP on Twitter for myself, and Ben J, M-O-R-S-E on Twitter for Ben. We are posting constantly every day, sometimes by the hour, on what we're reading and various things going on in the comic book and superhero world, and we would love your feedback. So we're going to dip into some of the headlines that have been coming out over the past month or so. I think it's been about a month since we did the last episode where we did this.
Yeah.
And the first one here, this is a doozy.
Oh my God, out the gate. Yeah.
I still can't believe that that this was something that he admitted to, that he allowed to be out there into the ether so it could be printed. But Zack Snyder confirms that the Dead Robin costume that we see in the Snyderverse belonged to not the Robin that was actually killed by the Joker in canon, who would have made perfect sense for that to be, but instead is Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Nightwing. Well, apparently he never got to be Nightwing in the Snyderverse.
Yeah, because we can't have nice things in the Snyderverse. That's kind of the lesson of this. Just, I mean, I expressed this to you the other day when we talked about it, but to me, this was totally unnecessary for him to confirm that Dick Grayson was dead in the DC Extended Universe.
What does he gain from it?
Yeah, exactly. What, other than getting people talking again, which seems to be something that Zack Snyder loves to do, like...
And lose him more credit, by the way.
And lose him more credit.
And no one heard this and goes, oh, that's such a unique take.
No, it just feels like it's something done for shock value. Dick Grayson is such a great character. If you're building a DC Extended Universe, how can there not be room for Dick Grayson? He's one of the best characters in the history of comics. To just say, like, yeah, we killed him, and we didn't even show it on camera. We have a costume. Come on, man. It's ridiculous. But more than that, it's just like no one was clamoring to know this. He could have just left it alone, and people could draw their own conclusions. But Zack Snyder just can't help but keep poking that bear that is comic book fandom, and it was immensely frustrating.
Maybe the plan was that eventually Jason Todd would go on to become Nightwing.
Sure, why not?
Maybe that's the true Nightwing. That's the Nightwing we've needed all along.
Oh my God. The word for this is unnecessary. It didn't need to happen. It's not even, I can tell you why I disagree with it as a call, but I shouldn't even have to, because this shouldn't even have happened.
All right, moving on to the next one. This is some of the better news that we've gotten in the past few months. Sony, during their big PlayStation 5 reveal event, revealed during the reveal event, I'm using a lot of the same words here.
It's fair.
The next Spider-Man game for the PlayStation 5 would be centered around Miles Morales, which I think this is so amazing. First of all, Miles is a character that absolutely deserves more time in the spotlight. If the Ultimate Spider-Verse, or the Ultimate Spider-Verse, I mix those two. If the Ultimate Timeline and Into the Spider-Verse movies haven't already proven it to you, you know, when this was first revealed, a lot of people were worried or concerned that this was just a spinoff, or it was just a DLC or an expansion pack onto the PS4 version of the game. But Sony has said that this will be its own fully standalone developed game that is 100% centered on Miles and his story.
Yeah, I love this news. I love Miles Morales. He was created during the time I worked at Marvel, so I feel a special attachment to the character. But he's such a wonderful character, regardless of color. Throw the color stuff out the window. Throw the fact that he has that Black Latino heritage out the window. And just, he's a great character. Then bring all that stuff back in the window, because it's important. It's great that we have a character representing people who have been criminally underrepresented in comics. And the fact that we're getting a video game out of this character is fantastic. The movie was awesome. I just recently watched it for the first time. I don't even know if we've talked about that on the show. But I love Into the Spider-Verse. And the stuff that's being done with Miles, the advancement, and just the idea that we have another Spider-Man. You know what I really love, Robbie, is that the promotion of Miles, be it through movies, comics, video games, in no way diminishes Peter Parker, right? Mm-hmm. Peter Parker fans do not lose anything by Miles also getting to be this great voice and figure.
Realized something.
Yeah.
Miles and Peter is what Flash and
Wally
Flash
should be.
Wally and Barry should be.
It is what they should be.
Wow.
Thank you. But that's exactly what they should be. They should be able to be on equal footing, but they do it so well. I can't think of a character where this is done better than on Spider-Man right now. And I have not played the original PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game because I do not have a PlayStation and because I have a 3-year-old. But I will say on the air right now that when Robbie and I discussed this yesterday, he said when he gets his PlayStation 5, he is going to send me... this is being recorded. Rick, do not cut this out. He is going to send me his PlayStation 4 with Spider-Man so I can play Spider-Man and then eventually... And it reminds me much of when I was a kid, Robbie.
You just had to get this on recording somewhere. It wasn't enough that I just told you.
It reminds me much of when I was a kid and I always was one step behind on video game systems. And my best friend, shout out to Matt Corley, whenever he would get a new video game system, would give me his old one. So I was playing like Nintendo 64 when everyone else had moved on to the next platform. So I'm happy to continue that tradition of being one step behind in the gaming world.
Yeah, looking forward to that, too.
Yep,
you'll have to pay shipping and handling.
I was going to say, you get that postage ready.
Up next on our list here, this I thought was interesting. Now, I haven't dove into this, so I don't know the specifics on it, but I am always so excited to see the Lantern side of DC's mythos explored more. But DC has introduced in the Legion of Superheroes a Gold Lantern.
Yeah, I saw basically the imagery of this. I'm a couple issues behind on Brian Bendis' Legion of Superheroes. I liked what he's been doing so far. Legion is a title that I've liked since I was a kid, but I know it's a tough nut to crack because there's about 800 characters and there's just a lot going on. But Bendis seems to be doing a great job with it. Seems to be something he really likes. And Gold Lantern, you and I are both in the midst, or I guess I'm in the midst. You've finished recently reading Blackest Night. So The idea of all these different colored lanterns is one that's a lot of fun. It's just so fun because for decades there were just Green Lanterns. And then Geoff Johns came along and said, you know, it would be really neat if we had lanterns of every color. And People are like, no, that sounds ridiculous. No, wait, it's going to be really awesome. So I'm all for bringing in more colored lanterns. Gold Lantern looks really cool from the artwork I've seen. And The Legion having their own lantern character ties them back more to the DC universe. Because that's the thing about Legion is they can get a little lost being off in the future and not having those direct connections. They've already got John Kent in the book, which is great. Now they have a Lantern character. It brings them closer together, but still allows them to tell their own story. I think this is a win all around.
Yep, I agree. And it's actually probably going to be the reason that I end up picking up Legion of Superheroes.
There you go.
To take a look at it, because I am very interested in what it is that makes the Gold Lantern so special. Something else cool that's coming out, and we'll see how this ends up, what it ends up bringing to DC Universe. You know, when DC Universe first came out, I was pretty rough on it. Mm-hmm. You know, at the time, the only real draw besides the comics that they had was the Titan show, which I have varying opinions on. But some new project that they just announced in partnership with Spotify is they are going to be creating scripted podcasting content. Which is to say, you know, not like what we do here where we get on and we just have discussions
about topics. This is not scripted. Just
That'll actually be like radio dramas, I guess, is what it makes me think of. I'm not sure how much more that's going to move the needle for DC Universe in general. Ben, what are your thoughts on it?
The tricky thing about podcasts, and I say this as someone who I teach a podcasting class at UNLV, if anyone's looking to learn more about podcasting. But the thing about podcasting is it's a great platform for people to get their voices out on. Historically, not necessarily the easiest platform to monetize. And the reason for that is because there are so many great podcasts that are available for free. So it's kind of tough. I know some companies in the past have tried to create this, you know, really they've used the traditional model of creating really elite material and thinking, okay, well, we'll put this behind a paywall, the same as cable television or anything like that. And it just, it's never really translated. So that's the one thing when you start talking about, like, is this going to move the needle for DC Universe? I don't think so. Dollars and cents, this is not going to be a huge draw. Will it be a cool little thing? Yes, absolutely. Marvel has been doing scripted podcasts for a little while now. They're partnered with Stitcher, so it makes sense that Spotify would partner with DC. I heard about Marvel doing the Stitcher podcasts like a couple years ago at this point, and when I said this to you the other day, you didn't even know that they were doing them, which I think is pretty indicative of what kind of impact they've made, whether they're good or bad. So am I convinced that DC is going to revolutionize the podcast game? No, not particularly. Do I think it'll be a fun little project that I might listen to? Yeah, it'll be a nice way to spend an afternoon listening to, you know, a version of Blackest Night done by voice actors or something like that. But it's not groundbreaking, I don't think.
That's what I think I'm most excited for, is depending on who they have doing some of this content.
Sure.
They get some of the big known names, you know, from the voice acting space. That would probably rope me in. But otherwise, my plate is already so full consuming and creating content.
Yep.
Last on our list here, and probably one of the bigger news items, is that San Diego Comic-Con, of course, canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic, is going online, much like a lot of conventions are choosing to do. I'm not really sure what to expect out of this. I've never been to a San Diego Comic-Con myself. So I normally just, you know, consume the news after the fact, after it all comes out. So, you know, knowing that now, you know, whether it's panels that they're going to try and do, you know, remotely, or, you know, whether it is, you know, the big Marvel showcases that they might just put on a live stream now, I'm really looking forward to being able to experience some of this stuff, you know, at the same time that the rest of the world is.
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con has a special place in my heart. I went out there in 2004. Having freshly graduated college and wanting to get a job in comic books. And basically I spent the entire San Diego Comic-Con being blown away by the experience of Comic-Con, and then also meeting a lot of the people who would help me to create a career in comics. I went to a bunch of Comic-Cons when I was working at Marvel. I haven't been in a few years, but I applaud this effort to try to bring some semblance of Comic-Con to people digitally, remotely. And, the people who organize Comic-Con have typically done a very good job. They're the best in the business for a reason. So I'm fairly confident that they will produce something that's going to be enjoyable for everyone. And I'm actually really excited, Robbie, for people like you who have never gotten to go to Comic-Con to, even though this isn't going to be exactly the same as being there live, it's going to give you some approximation of what's so cool about it. And then hopefully, once everything dies down and everything's back to normal, that'll encourage even more people to make the trip to San Diego for this once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Couldn't agree more. We have one more big piece of news coming up, but it's so big, it gets its own segment coming up here on The Other Identity. So stay with us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.